Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Most Christians are aware that the Bible teaches that alcohol, specifically wine, is the particular alcoholic product that the Bible designates when it says wine is a rager and strong. What I wanted to emphasize was whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Wine is a mocker. That's the word. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink, that would be other alcoholic beverages stronger than wine. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Alcohol is deceptive. People think they can partake, they think they can indulge, they think they can have a little bit more, and just a little bit more, and just a little bit more, and before they know it, it will get a hold of them and destroy their lives. It is very deceitful, but not nearly as many Christians know that the Bible speaks of money in similar terms. Money is very deceitful. Money is very destructive. And that's what Solomon is dealing with in Ecclesiastes chapters 5 and 6. The last half of chapter 5 and a good ways into chapter 6, where he talks about the deceitfulness of riches. And we've already entered into that chapter, but we continue as we look more closely at what Solomon, the author of Ecclesiastes, would teach us about this subject. And if we are wise, we'll listen carefully and learn and apply this to our lives. So that's where we're going on this Thursday, October 1. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for helping us with the financial cost of airing this broadcast on this station. Well, verses 1 through 6 of chapter 6 tell us why some people can never enjoy money or material possessions. And it starts out by telling us this is a very common problem. We've already looked at that, but I'll read the verses. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. And then he goes on in verse 2 to describe this common problem. And what he is describing is riches that have been granted, that have been bestowed to someone by God, one to whom God has given riches and many of the things that are desirable in life. But God does not with it give them an ability to enjoy their possessions, which is the greatest gift of all. And therefore, the surprising result of that is that they leave life without ever enjoying their possessions, and somebody else ends up enjoying them. And this is an unanticipated result of wealth. It destroys the ability to enjoy life because this person fails to understand that they do not control their possessions. God does. Are you listening to me? I do not control my possessions. You do not control your possessions. God does. And in all of our possessions, God must be acknowledged and gratefully worshiped. And when he is, then the gifts that he bestows can indeed add some measure of joy and satisfaction to life, but when God is not acknowledged as the giver of the gift, when God is not gratefully worshiped as greater than the gift, far, far greater than the gift, then those riches and material possessions turn out to be a mocker, just like wine. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Well, money can be a mocker, and wealth can be raging, and whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, the chapter goes on in the next several verses, verses 3 through 6, to giving a shocking comparison. So we go on in verse 3. If a man begets 100 children and lives many years so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with goodness, or indeed he has no burial, I say that a stillborn child is better than he. For it comes in vanity and departs in darkness, and its name is covered with darkness. Though it has not seen the sun or known anything, this has more rest than that man, even if he lives 1,000 years twice, but has not seen goodness. Do not all go to one place? Now, this is worth considering. He is comparing abundant life with discontent. And he talks about someone who has many children and a long life. In fact, he says if a man begets 100 children, you say that's a pretty unlikely. It is. And there are several phrases throughout these verses that are obviously exaggerated for the sake of making a point. Not that it's impossible in Old Testament days with multiple wives for a man to have 100 children, but even in that situation it's pretty rare. How many wives did David have? But he didn't have 100 children. How many wives did Solomon have? I don't know, but I don't know that he had 100 children. So this is an exaggerated figure that is thrown out to make a point. Even if a man should have 100 children, which in the Old Testament was considered to be one of the greatest blessings of life, they really believed that children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward, and happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. And if God has given a man the resources to be able to take care of a large number of children, then, of course, they are a great blessing. But I don't find much evidence in the Old Testament that numerous children were ever considered to be anything but a blessing, regardless of the economic level of the person who had them. So this is set in the context of the Old Testament, where they had a different culture and a different value system than we have in America today, and I'll leave it to you to decide whose value system is likely to be the best one. But at any rate, he's describing a person who has been blessed with many children and blessed with a long life, but he has a discontented heart. Nothing satisfies. He has, as we would put it, he has it all, but it doesn't make him happy. He has it all, but he's discontent. He has it all, but nothing satisfies. That's a sad, sad state to be in. And people like that are often not respected. He has all these things, but he lacks respect, so that he has a dishonorable burial, that's what's being described here, and his possessions have not granted him the honor that he thinks he deserves. And it boils down to this: to be honored, one needs to live honorably. People who think that they ought to be honored simply because they have a lot of wealth, they have a lot of possessions, don't realize that in many cases they are actually despised rather than honored. Now show me a man of wealth who is a godly person and takes the word of God seriously and recognizes that his wealth has been granted to him by God to be used for the glory of God and for the good of others, and is generous with his wealth and uses it to help other people. And I'll show you a person that is greatly respected by his community. People will honor him. People will laud him. People will love him because they recognize that he has a heart of love and generosity and concern and sensitivity, and he's not hoarding his wealth. He is spreading his wealth. He's using his wealth for the benefit of others, and he will be honored. But show me a person who has a lot of wealth and the material things of life, and he is a grouchy, old, discontented person. I threw in old. At some point, he becomes old if he lives long enough. And he's not going to be respected. If a man begets 100 children and lives many years, so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with goodness, there's that discontent, or indeed he has no burial. He is not honored in his death. You have some examples of that in the Old Testament. Jehoiakim the king is one of those. You can read about him in Jeremiah 22, 18 and 19. Here is a man who rose to incredible position and yet did not receive an honorable burial. The point being that to have an abundant life granted by God and to be discontent leaves one miserable. The blessings of life, the abundance of life, the wealth of life, the possessions of life do not of themselves bring contentment, happiness, fulfillment. They don't. They promise that they will, but they don't. Riches are deceptive. Like wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Money is a mocker, and wealth is raging, and whoever is deceived by it is not wise. I'm talking to someone now who is headed down a sorrowful path because you bought into the lie that money and wealth and accumulation of things is going to bring you happiness and fulfillment and respect and honor by those around you, and you are going to end up being very, very disappointed when you find out that it does not produce those things at all. Not at all. The things in themselves will not produce that. It's your character, your attitude toward others, your concern for others, your love for others that is going to make your possessions meaningful to you and is going to generate respect and appreciation from those around you. Don't be deceived into thinking that money is going to make you content. It won't. Understand that godly character is what makes one content. Godly character is what makes one content. And that person is content, whether rich or poor. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.